The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay, and he has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I am the good shepherd, as the Lord Jesus introduces himself in the Gospel today. And we are in the middle of the Easter celebration, and every year, the fourth Sunday of Easter is called Good Shepherd Sunday. Because every year, the fourth Sunday, the Gospel we proclaim from John's Gospel chapter 10. The whole thing about Jesus as a good shepherd impressed the Christian imagination so much. When the Christian art is begun with Jesus' paintings, on the good shepherd. Here he stands in a beautiful landscape in the countryside, a sheep on his shoulder, and so many other sheep surrounding him. The Christian art, the imagination of early Christians in the second century and third century, began with this kind of painting, portraying Jesus as a shepherd, holding a sheep on his shoulders, standing in a beautiful countryside, surrounded with lots of sheep. There's so two interesting things about this painting. We can imagine that portrait of Jesus. One thing is that this painting was widely used in the catacombs in Rome. The catacombs were the places where the Christians buried their dead underground. So when the people go down to visit the tombs of their loved ones and to celebrate the Eucharist there, looking at the tomb of the loved one, you notice the picture of the good shepherd. And anybody who's grieving over their loved one can look at that sheep on the shoulder of Jesus and say, look, here is my mother or father or the spouse or the brother or sister of the loved one, whom Jesus will carry over to the eternal life. So it gives a sense of consolation, such a comfort, having that picture of Jesus holding that sheep on that shoulder, his shoulder. And to think about this good shepherd will carry my loved one. So it is a very comforting, very consoling image. The second thing about this painting, the other painting of good shepherd, is this shepherd who is standing there, he looks so young. He looks so young. And it is understandable because Jesus died young, you know. But when he died on that cross, what happened? All this energy was drained out. Biographically, he was young, but he died as old. Drained everything about his life. All that energy, all that blood, everything drained out. But now, there is a law. He radiates such a beauty. He is so handsome. He looks like an athlete. He looks like one of those, what you call the sports person, we especially, you know, relate with. He's so fit. That is why the risen Lord has for us. The risen Lord brings out that energy, the radiance. The ancients always had a special remembrance of the young people who are kind of the people. For the ancients, those who are young and energetic, that means death is not working in them. They have almost like a victory of a life in them. So that's why we have this, our attention gets into these young, handsome people. Because death is not working in them. They are almost triumphant in their journey of life. So here Jesus, the good shepherd, is the one who rose from the dead as a radiant to bring and share with us his, what do you call that, radiance? The radiance of being young. He rose in a garden. His tomb was in a garden. He rose in a garden, taking us to the beginnings of our journey. Humanity created in the garden. His tomb was in the garden. He stands as a risen Lord in the garden. And what we celebrate now, we celebrate the springtime of the universe. Whole world is experiencing springtime. Everywhere you see the growth. So Easter is our springtime. Remembering Jesus as a good shepherd, he, for us, is to gain our, what do you call it, energy of our youthfulness. That's what one of the prayers of the previous Sundays of this Easter was, help us, Lord, to regain the youthfulness of our soul. That's why we celebrate Easter, to regain the youthfulness of our soul. Youthfulness of our soul. The gift of baptism. Youthfulness of our soul. Gift of baptism. The youthfulness of our soul. It is the springtime. If you can relate with those Easter stories, we remember and read them past Sundays. Think about Mary Magdalene. When she found the tomb empty and she was told the Lord has been raised up, what she did, she regained her youthfulness, she started running. two apostles, Peter and John, heard that he has been raised by that the holy demon told them about the resurrection. They started running. Two men in Emmaus, they were walking slowly, slowly, giving into their hearts, down hearts. But when they met the risen Lord and the breaking of the bread, and then they recognized him, when he vanished from their sight, what did they do? They were running fast pace, going back. They were not walking slowly. They were almost, if they took it, 3 days to get into Emmaus, now they took only 1.5 days to get back to Jerusalem to share this good news. They regained their youthfulness. And the late side of the risen Lord showed himself, and the disciples had bought John, recognizing that he announced he is the Lord, and then Simon Peter jumped out into the water, splashing. Regaining the youthfulness. That is what our Easter celebration leads us to. In the second reading we heard, St. John talks about addressing the Trinity, we are children of God. We are not the Jesus. When we meet Jesus, he's not going to address us and welcome my dear senior citizen, or no, if I have prepared a nice nursing home for you. Jesus calls us his children. Unless you become children, you cannot enter into heaven. Jesus does not say, unless you get into wise and learned, and unless you have thought of wisdom, you cannot enter. Jesus says, unless you become children, unless you become children, even the first reading, the first miracle performed by the Simon Peter, when Jesus gave the disciples the power of the Pentecost, the Acts of the Apostles describes how Peter shared in the same ministry of Jesus, preaching, healing, mirroring even Jesus' death. Everything a mirror of what Jesus did. That is what repeated in the Acts of the Apostles, in the lives of those apostles, right? Starting first 7 chapters of Acts of Apostles for Peter, next 7 for Paul, and then Paul and Peter together, and that's the way. Everything is a kind of a mirroring the life of Jesus. Such a youthfulness. That's what Simon Peter meets this crippled man, and Simon Peter prays over that crippled man, and he lifts up his arms and says, "Rise up!" And when he was raised up, what that crippled man did, he started jumping, praising God. He regained his youthfulness while he was here. He was crippled, paralyzed, aged, but now he's young, he can jump, he can run, he can praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So giving by this youthfulness, that's part of the secret. That's why we have this fourth Sunday. The fourth Sunday is meant for each and every one of us to regain our youthfulness. We began with the renewing of baptism and promise on Easter Sunday, relating with all these Easter stories of the energy and radiance of people who experienced the resurrection. Now, Easter, this fourth Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday, is also called Occasion Sunday. So the secret, that's what why we celebrate today as our Occasion Sunday, the secret of getting young. We cannot age all these dreams, okay? But how we can stay young? Is it just with the dream, or it doesn't help with the dieting? It only helps with the what we call. The church and Father instructs us, going back to our first love. God, when He created each and every one of us, He has a purpose. He has a dream about us. He planted that dream. And as when we are young, we are so enthusiastic to find out that our dream about our life. Every one of us, God has given a dream in our life. So our occasion in day, on this occasion Sunday, the best thing on regaining our youthfulness, the youthfulness of our soul, is to incorporate that first love. How do you respond to God's love? Falling in love with someone? Falling in love with someone willing to suffer and sacrifice that's our love. And that is the story of many spouses sitting here. And where spouses suffering and sacrifice leads to bringing out the offering, the children, and that love, celebrating the family itself is a manifestation of God's love in the family. Loving our family, loving our church, loving the goodness, loving the beauty. Everything God's gift. So going way back to that, our first love, remembering our first love today. So that is why the church specifically pray for occasions to please you. Why we need priests and deacons and consecrated people in the church? Because of what happened in the Gospel, Gospel chapter 6, during these Easter days, last one full week, the chapter 6 of John was proclaimed daily mass. Jesus discourses about the bread of life. And when it was concluded, Jesus made it a clear, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal, you cannot have my life. The risen Lord wants to share his life through sharing, partaking. And many people said, this is hard, I am leaving. And Jesus asked them to be the disciples. What about you? You also want to leave? Simon Peter had that energy to let Jesus know, Master, where shall we go? You are the eternal life. You can alone share with us eternal life. And Jesus, that's what we heard in the Acts of Apostles. Jesus shared this gift of sharing eternal life through this, what we call those apostles, ordinary people like Simon Peter, mirroring the life of Jesus, working miracles, not raising up the crippled man. Yesterday, the Gospel in the morning, not the Gospel, Acts of the Apostles, this same Simon Peter raised up another, what we call, crippled man by the name Ananias. Then he was taken to a home where there was a dead, Tabitha, lying dead. He raised up Tabitha to life. But the greatest miracle this man, Simon Peter, and the rest of the apostles were doing, what we do now. Transforming ordinary bread and wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of the risen Lord, the gift of the Eucharist, the miracle, the greatest miracle, to continue this greatest miracle, generation after generation, community after community. We need from Jesus a couple of people. That is why we especially pray for occasions that come. These occasions have to come from families, our community, our parishes. That is why we need always to think and pray for one another. I have an issue. I see a school principal sitting here, Marita. She's going to have herself saying, my goodness. But I had an experience with a teacher Peter is talking to the young man, kids, you know, what is your plan? What is your dream? Unfortunately, one of the first boys said, I want to be a priest. And the teacher made a little face. I said, I want things I said to them. That was not good. That wasn't working. That's dampening. So, how do you respond to the dream God plans on our young people? Unless the same people act crazy and crazy, we need to generate what the same people want to accomplish. Because that's God's call for them. That's their vocation. So let us remember and pray that we all, we go into that first one of God planted in us. Relate with the whole vocation today, pray to the Good Shepherd. And then good Lord, guide us, lead us, help us find it to reach that destination you alone can share with us, our eternal home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.